Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Miami International Airport, terminating point of our flight. We do ask that you remain seated with your seatbelt securely fastened about you until the captain has parked the aircraft at the gate and brought it to a complete stop. At that time, you'll turn out the fastened seatbelt sign. That is your indication it's safe to move about in the aisles and collect any personal belongings you may have brought on board with you. When opening the overhead bin, please use caution. Bags may have shifted during flight and can fall out and injure you or someone around you. On behalf of Delta and the entire crew, it has been our pleasure to bring you here today. When your future plans call for air travel, we hope you once again select us.
Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show. Donna's still hanging out. We're talking about Philly. I just got back from Miami with my wife. That was so much fun. Didn't see a single mosquito. Talked to some of the local people there. Swimming in pina coladas. This is Jan Hammer. Formerly of the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Donna squeezed my arm for that one. Did that warm your heart, Donna?
I know it did.
I knew it would. Where's Rick Laird? Taking photographs. He's into photography these days. I saw Sully. It was really good. We cried. Real tears. It was very good. Sully, have you seen it? Two thumbs up. Thanks for being out there. Stay with me for the next hour of Dusty. Hardy's coming up at 7. The TNP follows. First name?
Danny.
Danny, where are you from?
Ireland.
From Ireland. Are you just visiting?
Yeah, here in holidays, yeah.
Yeah. We're here in Miami, incidentally, for my audience, and I thought I'd get out and talk to some of the people down here. First of all, do you pay attention to American politics at all? Do they talk about it in Ireland, Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, we know what's going on, but wouldn't be...
You have your own problems over there?
Yeah, we have our own problems.
Do you like one of the candidates better than the other? Would you rather
it doesn't make any difference
to you?
No.
What are your impressions of the United States? Have you been here several times, or is this a first visit?
No, I've been in New York.
Uh-huh. So, did you like New York?
Yeah, I liked it. It's a really nice city. I really like America, to be honest.
You do? Yeah. What do you like about the United States?
It's just a different lifestyle.
How is it different than Ireland?
Oh, I don't know. The weather anyways, for a start.
Now, before you came here to Miami, were you aware of the Zika, of the mosquito?
Yeah.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, it did. I'm actually wearing the bands.
Are you?
We bought bands, yeah.
To ward off Zika-infested mosquitoes, people wear specially designed bracelets, pungent.
Now that you're here, do you feel less afraid than before?
I do, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I, too. I got here and I feel
very
less
relaxed.
Afraid.
Yeah, very relaxed.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you enjoy your vacation. What message would you impart to the people of the United States from Ireland?
Come visit.
it must be beautiful there. Yeah. Are you proud of your country?
Yeah, very proud, yeah.
Uh-huh. What about this Brexit that they have now in England? Is that going to affect you there in Ireland?
It'll affect certain businesses, yeah.
Were you for it or against it?
Against it.
Does Ireland ever make noise like Scotland did about leaving the UK?
No. Well, Ireland's not part of the UK.
I can edit that up.
I was so embarrassed I had to look it up. Northern Ireland is a part of the UK. Southern Ireland, now the Republic of Ireland, separated from Northern Ireland not long ago, 1922. That's pretty long ago, I should have known. But it's easy to see how I made that mistake. Easy to see and entirely forgivable.
Nice talking to you, man.
You too.
Have a great vacation. Here's my card if you want to listen.
Excellent.
It's Thursday night at 6. Yeah, it's podcast too, so
perfect.
Free one. Hope you listen.
Take care, buddy.
Tis luck to catch a leprechaun, but of course, nobody can. Catch me, and you catch me Lucky Charms. A new old cereal with a charming difference. Sweet surprises. See him? Mixed right in with the cereal. It's a charming cereal. Simply charming. Glory be, free shamrocks.
Catch a pack of Lucky Charms. Charming. A Big G General Mills cereal.
Delicious.
You're from Germany, Deutschland.
Yes.
Have you been to Florida before?
No.
You like it?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really hot, isn't it?
It is.
Did you hear about the Zika mosquito before you came here?
Yes, I did. I didn't know it's in Florida, but...
Yeah. Did it worry you at all or not really?
Not really, but I use repellent.
You have the repellent on?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about politics? Do they talk about Trump and Hillary Clinton
over there
in Germany?
It's a global topic, so yeah.
Yeah. What are they saying over there?
People don't like Trump, but they don't like Hillary that much either. They were basically Bernie Sanders fans, most of them.
You have your own political upheaval in Germany right now, don't you? Merkel just lost an election over there, or her party lost. Explain that a little bit.
To be honest, I'm really not that informed about politics.
From Gulf News TV.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel came under renewed pressure over her liberal refugee policy after an upstart anti-migrant populist party handed her party a humiliating defeat in her home state. The xenophobic Alternative for Germany clinched around 22% in its first bid for seats in a regional parliament.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel had an open-door policy for refugees. Germany took in over 1 million in 2015. Caused a lot of tension.
Basically, it's in the constitution to let refugees in if they're prosecuted, so it's a really difficult topic. It's an issue that has to be solved, but... Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was nice talking to you, Vita.
Yes, thanks a lot.
Have a good time. Thank you.
Too.
Here's my card. My show airs
at 30.
Okay, man. Hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont. Denkst du vielleicht gerade an mich? Dann singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons. Und das sowas von sowas kommt. It's Nina on the Dusty Show, remember? MTV staple Nina back in the glory days. Martha Quinn, JJ Jackson, 99 Red Balloon. Got that kind of scandal keyboard, Patti Smyth kind of thing. Big back then. Big. Let's dance a little bit. We'll be right back. What's your first name?
Andrew.
Andrew, are you from Florida here?
No, originally from Baltimore.
You hang out down here in Miami now?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes.
What about the election this fall? Will you vote? Will you get out and vote?
You know, it's interesting. I am pro-Hillary. Nonetheless, you've got Trump that's actually starting to make a bit of some leeway. He's actually starting to talk about a couple issues and not being such an asshole. So, to be quite honest with you, I'm a little hesitant with some of his people. Nonetheless, go Hillary. I gotta go.
All right, have a great day.
CNN. Her doctor says Clinton has pneumonia and her upcoming trip to California is now in the air. That coming to us from a senior campaign advisor.
Rush Limbaugh.
She collapses and they it appears just shove her in that van. In the process, she lost a shoe. They got her in the van, they shut the door, and if you look carefully, if you play it back in a number of different speeds, you can see that she's bobbing up and down. She looked like she has lost neurological control and then collapses.
What's your first name?
Andy.
Andy, where are you from? Are you visiting or you live here in Miami?
I live up in Broward, but I work here in Miami.
Broward County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us the truth about Zika. What's going on? We hear the news up in New York. We get scared. Is it no big deal or
no
is it serious?
No big deal. It's no big deal. I mean, it's serious, but it's not rampant like it's a flu that's running around and you can catch it. It's very few people. I mean, you take the number of cases versus the number of people, and it's a non-incident.
Do you get mad that the media pumps it up and then they get to hurt your economy down here?
Of course. This is how we make our living. There's the tourist trade, and anytime you see something bad out there, it doesn't, you know, people don't see how rampant it might be. They just hear, hey, better not go.
From Chaos News.
South Beach has been identified as a second site of Zika transmission by mosquitoes on the U.S. mainland. The discovery prompted the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to announce that it was expanding its travel warning for pregnant women to include the tourist-friendly area of Miami Beach.
Now, we're here in South Beach, which is one of the designated so-called danger zones.
Sure.
Do you take precautions or not even?
Not even.
No mosquito repellent, no bracelet?
No, sir.
And never did?
Nope.
Do you see them on you occasionally?
Rarely.
Yeah, I haven't seen one since I got here.
Yeah, well, maybe that's because the spraying's working, but, you know, at the same time, you know.
You think maybe that spraying's more dangerous than the mosquitoes?
Absolutely.
They had a protest
to it, didn't they? Absolutely. A lot of people are really upset about it. Instead of using an organic-based pesticide to control it, they're using something that is proven to be detrimental. It's a neurological toxin.
I saw it described as pretty much kills everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Raid's here.
Raid!
Yes, Raid, house and garden bug killer for both indoors and outdoors. Raid hunts bugs down like radar and kills them dead.
Hello.
Goodbye.
It really kills them dead.
Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, ha ha, can you feel that, can you feel that, check it out, here I am in the place where I come let go, in Miami, the place and the sunset low, every day like a Mardi Gras, everybody party all day, no work, go play, okay, oh, simple little something, lay to rest the spell, me and Charlie at the bar, running up a high bill, nothing less than ill, when we dress to kill, every time the ladies pass, they be like, can y'all feel me, all ages and races, real sweet faces, every different nation, Spanish, Haitian, Indian, Jamaican, black, white, Cuban, and Asian. I only came for 2 days of playing, but every time I come, I always end up staying. This the type of town I can spend a few days in. Miami, the city that keeps the roof blazing.
Party in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to Miami.
I didn't even know that Will Smith sang this thing.
I'm going to Miami.
This is Slick's version.
Get me wrong, Chi-Town got it going on. And New York is the city that we know don't sleep. And we all know the LA and Philly stay jiggy. But on the sneak, Miami be bringing the heat. Y'all don't understand. I never seen so many Dominican women with sands and tans. This is the plan. Take a walk on the beach. Draw a heart in the sand. Give me your hand. Damn, you look sexy. Let's go to my yacht in the West Keys. Ride my jet skis. Lounge under the palm trees. Cause you gotta have cheese. Water so clear, you can see to the bottom. 100,000 cars, everybody got them. Ain't no surprise in the club to see Sly Stallone. Miami, my second home.
Party in the city where the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Welcome to
It's good to be back there.
In the club where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Florida.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn.
Florida's a political hotbed now. You're one of the states that both candidates are eyeing very seriously.
Very much so.
Which way is it leaning down here? I mean, not you personally, but is it going to go Trump?
All the people that I know talk to, Trump's the word.
Yeah.
Trump's the word.
What about you? Are you a Hillary person or a Trump person?
I'm a Trump person.
You're going to go for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that. I'm more of a New York liberal, so
yeah.
I'll be swinging the other way. But you seem like a reasonable fellow. A lot of times we have stereotypes.
We need the balance, my friend, but can't stand the way the economy's going. We need that change. Can't have the status quo continue. As far as the untrustworthiness, the lies, the scandals, I mean, we've had enough of that. Her husband was up for impeachment. Do we want to put him back in the White House? They have a family history of doing things that are against the U.S. citizens' best interest. And I like the fact that Donald Trump is down in the trenches. When he's doing a construction thing, he knows all those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like a real guy, talks like a real guy. You know, he's not a politician. I think that would be a refreshing change.
It's been kind of an ugly campaign, hasn't it?
It's been a horrible campaign.
Yeah.
It's been super ugly. Unfortunately, that seems to be the way that politics is moving. How much can you smear the other guy? And, you know, he who smears the most wins, I guess. I don't know. Policy-wise, I think Trump's got better policies. His ideas, I think, are better because Hillary's not looking to change anything. She just wants to continue, and it's proven that it's broken. My wife and I were fined because we had a gap in our insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fined $600 for not having full insurance during that period of time with Obamacare. To be fined for not having insurance and then have the insurance be so much higher, how is that better? I'm sure it's better for somebody, but it's sure not better for the working man.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think there's a lot of improvements that can be made. So instead of keeping everything the same and continuing failed policies, we need somebody who's going to at least make an effort to change some of those for the better.
Do you feel like Hillary is just a third term of Obama?
Absolutely.
And as far as Obama, I'm guessing you're probably not crazy about his presidency.
I think that he's stood back too much and hasn't shown the backbone that we really need as a nation to show the world who we are. And we've moved backwards a lot. You can look at what China's doing in the South Sea. You can look at Iran running up on our military vessels, threatening to shoot planes out of the sky. Nobody respects the power of the United States because Obama won't do anything. He stands down.
And by the way, with Iran, when they circle our beautiful destroyers with their little boats and they make gestures at our people that they shouldn't be allowed to make, they will be shot out of the water.
The red line in Syria over chemical weapons.
And
did it again,
even,
and he didn't do a damn thing.
You haven't mentioned North Korea. That's a,
yeah. Well,
what,
yeah,
what, what,
yeah,
do we? What do we?
North Korea.
What do we do?
North Korea is a global problem, and that's not something the U.S. can solve by itself.
From ABC.
Thousands upon thousands of North Koreans rallied today around a North Korean general delivering that stunning threat. A first strike nuclear attack with a vow to engulf Washington, D.C. in a sea of fire.
They're threatening a nuclear preemptive attack. Never done that before.
Have you voted for a Democrat before?
Nope.
I just thought of that.
No, it's fine. And
are you optimistic about the future of the country?
I'll feel more optimistic in November if we see a President Trump. We've been around for quite a while, but we're still babies in the world scale. You know what I mean?
That's so, a teenage country.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. I think we need to focus on home before the rest of the world anyway and try and fix some of the problems because, you know, here on Lincoln Road, I see, you know, there's a lot of people that are homeless. We got people here who need help.
Yeah.
And we're helping other countries solve their problems before our own. And that's inherently wrong to me. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, I don't tend to vote the Democratic ticket because I think that philosophy is more of a Republican philosophy than it is a Democratic philosophy.
I appreciate your time. I wish we had more time. I got to catch a plane.
I got to go back to work.
Here's my card.
Thanks, buddy.
Thursday at 6. I hope you can tune in. What's your message to the people of New York and New Jersey?
Vote Trump.
Take care, man.
From CBSN.
A government board recommended that 45,000 wild horses and burros be killed to make room for cattle. The Bureau of Land Management, known as the BLM, voted to euthanize those animals in all government-run holding facilities in the U.S. Exactly when the horses would be killed, that's not been decided yet. But animal rights advocates are outraged by the decision. In a statement, the U.S. Humane Society senior VP said, quote, "The decision of the BLM Advisory Board to recommend the destruction of 45,000 wild horses currently in holding facilities is a complete abdication of responsibility for their care. The Humane Society of the U.S. stands ready to implement these alternatives at any time."
Learn how to help at SavingAmericasMustangs.org.
I always loved this song. Reminds me of home, back in western Iowa. Actually, I guess he's singing about Nebraska, but that's close enough. Dwayne, a DJ Dwayne, on Wednesdays is from Lincoln, Nebraska. This is Wildfire, Michael Murphy on The Dusty Show.
Oh, they say she died one winter, when there came a killing frost, and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall. In a blizzard he was lost.
Such a nice vocal performance on this one from Michael Murphy. Heartfelt.
By the dark of the moon, I planted, but there came an early snow. There's been a hoot owl howling by my window now for 6 nights.
Don't hurt those horses.
She's coming for me, I know.
Don't do it.
And on Wildfire.
Don't do it.
Gonna go.
They gotta run free, man.
We'll be riding Wildfire.
Sing it for them, you guys.
We'll be riding Wildfire. We'll be riding.
You're from Germany, too. I already talked to a person from Deutschland, and he didn't commit one way or another to Trump or Hillary. Are they paying attention in Germany to the U.S. election?
Yes, yeah, very much. Yes.
And you expressed sentiment that you're not crazy about Donald Trump.
Oh, not at all, no.
Why does he scare you?
He is scary. I just can't tell you. He's scary all over. How do you say he's not... suitable as a president.
And do others in Germany that you know share your feelings about it?
Yeah.
You had a recent election that didn't turn out well for Merkel's party.
That's right. That's scary, too.
Are you worried about what is that group in Germany that seems to be on the rise?
Yeah, well, I call them the new Nazis, which is probably...
I don't want to say it, but, you know, Americans look at that and think, wow, you know, Germany, of all places, maybe should be scared of something. Are you worried about that?
But I think they will disappear again.
Is it the immigration that's causing?
Yes, I think so.
Do you think Merkel did the right thing in allowing
them? Yes.
From a
humanitarian? Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Do you like the United States?
Oh, much, yes.
What do you like about it?
Well, I've been here for the second time, and especially Miami is... the people are so relaxed. And
are you worried about that mosquito?
No.
The Zika?
No.
I know, once we got here...
I haven't seen one mosquito.
Once my wife got here, we're like, suddenly I'm not afraid. I was a little worried before.
Really? Okay, no.
Can I hear you say something auf Deutsch for your friends back in Germany? We have listeners in Germany.
Ich grüße euch sehr herzlich from Miami Beach, und das Leben könnte schlimmer sein.
Sehr gut. Auf Wiedersehen. Here's my card.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Clay Pigeon. I had quite a few little interviews I was able to do when my wife and I visited Miami last week for a few days. Had such a nice time, but I got home and realized I had no audio footage of the pool or the ocean, the pool as I jumped so bravely off the side, or the ocean as I dove so gamely straight into the heart of it. And then we swam amongst the rocks, the hard rocks on the bottom. And we lounged by the pool with the pina colada.
Your first name is?
Steve.
Steve, you're a Red Sox fan.
Red Sox fan.
Are you from Boston originally?
No, I'm not.
Right down here in Florida?
Yep.
Yeah.
Near Miami Beach.
Which way is it swinging down here? Is Trump going to take it down here?
I hope so.
You like him?
I do.
What do you like about Trump?
Change. We do need change.
Have you been unhappy with the Obama presidency?
Well, I haven't been happy with it. I mean, I'm lucky. You know, I'm fortunate.
I've done well.
Yeah. Wall Street has been very good to me during this administration, but I'm not the one that's suffering.
Are you hopeful for the future of the country?
Absolutely.
Even if Hillary were to win, do you think it's the end of the world, or would it just be like third term of Obama?
Would be a third term. She doesn't bring anything to the table. She's been there for 30 years. She hasn't affected any change. She's corrupt. She's a liar. She's a politician.
Yeah.
And after 40 years, you're not going to get that out of her. She's got the Clinton Foundation. She's got her supporters.
Yeah. I'm a New Yorker, a little left of center.
I can appreciate that.
And I respect your point of view. Stepping back from each of us from this election, your gut feeling, when it's all said and done and the smoke clears, who's going to win this thing?
Trump.
You think he will?
He's got the momentum going now.
Creeping up right now?
Absolutely.
All the way. You think he'll make a good president?
We'll find out.
I appreciate your time.
Oh, my
brother, really?
Oh,
you're all sweaty.
Okay,
I'll give you a card, though, if you'd care to tune in Thursday at 6.
Okay.
Thank you a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
There are 6 exits on this plane. 4 doors, 2 on each side, and 2 window exits over the wings. Each door has a detachable side that can be used for flotation.
And finally, now would be a good time for everyone to review the safety information card, which is in your seat pocket.
On behalf of everyone at Delta Airlines, we'd like to thank you for paying attention. Now, as we prepare for takeoff, please relax and enjoy the flight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your first officer speaking. We should be airborne shortly. Flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for departure.
Once again, welcome aboard 2001 service to New York's JFK, 37,000 feet, seatbelt signs off. Feel free to move out the cabin. It is our policy over YRC to keep your belt fastened. Turbulence is very unpredictable.
I had to sneak in one more Miami song. I thought about so many of them. There's so many great ones, KC and all of them. And then I remembered this song. I like it a lot. Exposé, The Point of No Return. On The Dusty Show, TNP, baby.
I'm gonna take you in my-
Melinda says this brings back high school memories. Where are you right now? At work, at home, in the car? Get up and dance a little with old Clay Pigeon. Come on! Clap your hands!
Heavy on the ground in about 20 minutes. Flight attendants, please clear the cabin for arrival.
It's our pleasure to welcome you to JFK, New York, where the local time is 9:59 p.m. Please remain seated with the seatbelt fastened and your carry-on items stowed into the aircraft's port. The gate to the captain has turned on the seatbelt sign. Before you leave the aircraft, please be sure to check your seat pocket, the overhead bins, and the floor area for any personal articles you may have brought aboard. We are arriving into Bravo 20, B20 gate. And for those of you that are going to Paris, you are going to gate GM1, and Tel Aviv is Bravo 41. Have a wonderful evening.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm good. How are you?
You look like you're a little tired from your work day.
A little heat, but nothing crazy.
What do you do for a living?
An executive recruiter.
Executive recruiter, so you bring in new employees to a company.
Correct.
Yeah. How's the job market right now?
I mean, it's good. It's better for some than others, really, depending on the skill set, but I think, generally speaking, it's good.
If you were a young man or a young woman, maybe going to college, thinking about a career, what's a good choice right now? Is IT where it's happening?
IT is super, super busy, sought after. A phenomenal industry to get into, for sure. It's one of the busiest disciplines, I think, in hiring right now.
What about politics? Do you pay attention?
Unfortunately.
It's been a crazy election cycle, hasn't it?
That's an understatement.
Do you have a candidate that you'll vote for this fall?
Hillary Clinton.
Are you excited about that choice or just settling?
Settling.
Have you been happy with the job President Obama has done?
I think given what he had to work with, he did a good job.
What about Trump? Can you speak to him just a little bit?
I think Trump's a good businessman, but I think we'd be insane to think that he's smart enough and has the acumen to really be the leader of this country. I think he's a little crazy. I don't know how else to say it. I think he's just a little crazy in his temperament and the way that he goes about saying things. And it's indicative. I mean, the President of the United States is a serious job, and I think Trump is just in it for promoting himself and just making himself bigger and getting his name out there. At one point, I didn't think he was even thought that he'd have a chance of winning, but now it's come to this reality, so.
He's really thrown a wrench into the works, hasn't he?
He has, and I think a lot of people are voting for him because they're sick of, I mean, I don't think they're big fans of Hillary's, but which devil are you going to go with? I shouldn't say which devil you're going to go with, but you got to vote. And you've got to pick one that at least that has a lot more political experience, stronger foundation, and I mean, there's trust factors and all that stuff, but I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think what she's been upfront about or been dishonest about is really going to severely affect how she runs this country. I think she's learned from that. You know, with Trump, he's just flying off the cuff with anything that he says. I don't think he's intelligent enough to really understand about the international aspects of the country and wars, and he's just learning as he goes. You can't learn as you go.
You're an African-American man, so in a certain sense, I suppose you fit a stereotype of what people in the right would like to say, well, they love the Clintons, the African-Americans. How do you counter that statement?
If there was a situation where there was a Republican candidate that I strongly felt was better suited than a Democrat, I could vote Republican. I mean, yeah, I realize that we are pro-Democrat, but...
And you're a businessman.
Right.
One thing you often hear is, oh, we need a businessman in there.
But a businessman / politician. Trump is just a businessman in business that was partly successful and partly a failure. So, I mean, he's got a lot of money. Everything's like, I'm so great and delusions of grandeur, but doesn't mean that because you're partly successful businessman, that you can run the country. Because it's more than just being a businessman to run the country.
Are you optimistic about the future of the United States?
Why wouldn't I be? I mean, I think there's always room for improvement. Whether it's going to be, you know, this next election or the next one, I mean, you know, I'm 51 years old, so I'll be living to about 150, so I got another 100 years to...
Pneumonia. Hillary's got pneumonia. She was dragging her feet. She almost collapsed. They had to push her in the van. But if anyone can recover quickly, my friend, Hillary can. Hillary can. Yes, she can.
I mean, people say Obama didn't do enough for African Americans. I mean, it's unfair to think that, well, he's a black president, so what's he going to just now? That would have killed him. He would have never won a second office. That's not how you run in that office.
And we hear the same thing. When he initially ran, they were saying, oh, he can't raise his voice. He'll seem like an angry black man. Now Hillary's running. She can't raise her voice, or she's shrill.
You can't ever win with whatever you do, say, or don't do, or don't say. You just can't win. There's always going to be somebody to knock you.
If you present that to somebody, a Trump follower, that perhaps racism does play a role in how they perceive Obama, they will always say, no, that's it. And they'll say, racism is so much worse since Obama got in there. What's the fallacy of that?
Look, that's just something to put on Obama, you know, those that say it. I mean, the timing of this has nothing to do with Obama being in office. It just doesn't. Of course, you can align that. It's easy, right? It's easy to say. When Bush was in office, oh yeah, 9/11 happened because you were in office. You know, I don't think one has to do with the other. I think it was just unfortunate that he was there, that he was in office, and you know, he's done the best that he can, but...
What would you tell him if he had a moment of his time?
Obama, thanks for your 8 years of service. You did a good job.
Are you proud of him?
I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him. I think he's been very different from all of the past presidents from a standpoint of just being a little bit more of a normal person and not so political. And I think that's why people think that they like Trump. But Trump is to the other extreme. He's crazy. And he has shown comments and actions of just being a racist person by the comments that you would make. You can't just say that as President of the United States to so many different countries and religions and... It's crazy. So I don't know why people would think, yeah, because he's not political. They think that that's what we need. It's not what we need, folks. It could really hurt us all.
What's your message to people on both sides of the aisle, people of all races and creeds, all nations, all around the world, a message of peace and love from your heart today?
If there's ever a day where we can make that gap smaller, that would be great. I don't think it's ever possible that it's going to be totally united, not in the United States. Everybody's got to cut themselves off at some point and agree to move a little closer. That's the tough part, give and take. Unfortunately, in the world of politics, it's just politics.
I really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank
Radio
you.
Radio handshake. I'll give
right.
you a card. My show airs tomorrow at 6. I hope you
okay.
can tune in.
Thank you.
Thanks,
have a good
buddy.
Day.
Good luck to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
From Inside Edition.
Hillary Clinton is under fire today, accused of covering up the fact that she was diagnosed with pneumonia last Friday. In the video, shot by a bystander, you can see one agent support her around the waist. Another takes her arm. Her knees buckle and her head bobs as they hoist her bodily into the van. You can see her feet dragging along the ground.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
I like your hat.
Thank you.
It's radio. They won't know, but it's is that, a fedora they call it?
I don't know, but people have been saying, I like your brim.
Your brim, your lid.
Yeah.
Are you interested in the election coming up this fall?
Sure.
Do you have a candidate that you've chosen?
No.
Not yet.
I'm disappointed.
Did you like Bernie?
I did.
Was he kind of your guy? And then,
yeah, kind of, yeah, he was.
And Hillary, what's your problem with Hillary?
I just, when I think of a leader of this country...
You don't think she has what it takes?
I'm concerned.
What about Trump?
I'm very concerned.
What is it about Trump that you're most afraid of?
Well, I am by nature a peacemaker. I believe in bridging and, you know, negotiating and And I respect him for his career and for what he's built. But I think a leader needs to be firm, and he's gone too far.
Do you think you'll just sit it out in the end, or will you vote for somebody?
Oh, I'll vote.
Would it maybe be a Jill Stein or a Gary Johnson?
I don't know. I'm just not sure.
Would you vote for Hillary as an anti-Trump vote?
That's a good question. Probably, that would be probably a yes.
Are you optimistic about the future of the country?
Yes. I love this country, and I love what it means and it stands for. And I believe there are many people that live in this country that came here with the right spirit, and I want that to continue.
What's your message of peace and love to our listeners today?
My message is do your part wherever you can to make a difference, to bring together rather than divide, to love rather than hate.
Well, you just did your part for today.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll give you my card.
Okay.
My show airs tomorrow at 6. I hope you can listen.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thanks a
lot. I looked up metal bands from New Jersey, and I found out about Overkill. Are you New Jersey metal people familiar? I bet Diane Kamikaze probably knows these guys. Overkill from New Jersey, USA.
Super Marty.
And then you got the doctor, who just last week went on Russian state television to talk down our military and to curry favor with Vladimir Putin. He loves this guy.
What's your first name?
Steve.
Steve, do you pay attention to politics?
Yes, I do.
It's kind of hard to avoid. It's been a heck of an election cycle, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a little circus.
What do you think's making it so volatile this time around?
I really don't know.
Do you have a candidate that you prefer this fall that you'll vote for?
I'm not particularly fond of either one of them, but I don't know who's the worst of the two evils. So.
How do you generally lean? Did you vote for Obama last time?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Did you vote for Romney?
Yes.
Yeah. More often than not, do you vote on the Republican side of things?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Have you ever crossed the aisle?
Oh, yes.
So do you feel like you vote for the best person when it comes
Absolutely,
to you, the
yes.
person you think is most appropriate.
Absolutely.
You're on the right side of things generally. What's your problem with Trump? How does he make you uneasy?
He's a little erratic, I think, right now. I'm not too confident in his decision-making, you know, and he's a little off the handle once in a while.
What has he said that you doesn't sit right with you?
A lot of issues. right now I think he's good. He's good for change, but I think he needs to calm it down or to tone it down considerably.
Do you wince once in a while and go, man, you're shooting yourself in the foot here?
Yeah, but where are we going? Where are we going, you know?
Not much of a policy yet, we're
right.
Hearing about. Yeah. What about Hillary? What's your problem with her? I mean, I'm sure it's not that she's a woman.
I think that she has a lot of issues that she's been dishonest with, and I think she has a lot of things that are hidden that eventually are going to come out. And I don't think she's a leader right now.
Do you worry about the health thing?
Not so much. I think she'll be okay in the long run, but I'm sure it's crossed a lot of people's minds.
Do you feel like she and Bill are sneaky, for lack
Absolutely.
Of a better word?
Absolutely. They're very shady.
You couldn't vote for her?
At this point, no.
What about Obama, the job he's done? Have you been dissatisfied with the president?
Yes, dissatisfied.
In what sense?
A lot of things that he mentioned during his running for election, he never fulfilled his obligations. A lot of lies also. I don't think he was such a great leader. All in all, I think he did an above-average job, but he kind of misled the American people.
If you had to look back in history, are you a Reaganite? Does he stand out as someone you liked? Or who's a president you really liked?
Probably Nixon.
And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
You think Nixon, short of his mistakes, which got him out of office, was actually an intelligent tip?
I think so, yeah.
Is there a Democrat in history that you've admired?
Jimmy Carter. I liked him personally, you know?
Are you optimistic about the future of the country?
It's hard to say. It really is. It's not doing well right now.
Do you love America?
Absolutely.
What makes you love this country?
I was born and raised here all my life, and my family's been born and raised here all their lives, and it's the best country in the world as far as I'm concerned.
Are you a New Yorker?
Yes.
Well, what's your message to our listeners right and left of the aisle, here in the States, around the world? A message of peace and love. You seem like a nice guy. What would you impart to people in this turbulent world we live in?
Well, I guess we just have to be patient and see what our next leader could do for us, you know? We have to be steered in the right direction, and all the negativity has to be erased.
I want to put you on the spot. The election is tomorrow. Who gets your vote?
Right now, it'll be tough, but I think I would have to go with Mr. Trump.
I appreciate your time. Really appreciate your answers, and wish you all the best. I'll give you a card. My show airs tomorrow if you have a chance to tune in. It's also archived if you miss it.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
From CNN.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? Sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. The basket of deplorables.
Geezerette says, I wish I could laugh, Clay. It's wearing me out, all the rage and ill will. Pretty song, isn't it? I've missed this guy's radio show. Kirsten and I used to listen to him, enjoyed it. Wholesome show. Nice show. This is John Tesh, you guys, with Watermark. Thank you. Just 10 minutes in front of Hardy. He's coming up at the top of the hour with Miracle Nutrition. I know you look forward to that. I do too. Hardy's so talented and funny and great. So many talents here at the Mothership. Dave the Spaz, Kevin Nutt nickname, Stan. What's your first name?
Donna.
Donna, you're so nice to let me interview you here. Are you interested in the election coming up this fall? I was going to say excited. Somehow it didn't seem like the right word.
Interested is the right word, and yes, I am.
What do you do for a living, if I might ask?
I'm an event planner.
Event planner, and you live here in the city?
I don't. I live in New Jersey.
You do? Yes. Can I ask where for our audience?
Sure. Florham Park. It's in Morris County, right near Morristown.
Who gets your vote this fall?
Trump.
Now, you did you think that would surprise? It kind of surprised me. I don't know why.
You look surprised when I said it.
What is it about Mr. Trump that you like?
I think there are a lot of things about Mr. Trump that people don't know about.
Fill us in.
He does a lot of charity work anonymously. What I do like about it is that he's not so much of a politician as he is a businessman. And I think that's what we need right now. And his opponent, Hillary, is someone I would never vote for, and not just because she's a Democrat or anything, because I am a Republican, but I do look at the issues, and sometimes I do go Democrat, you know. But I just think that she is just all wrong. First of all, she's a liar. I can't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. I can't trust her. So for me, that's just reason enough not to vote for her.
Let me ask you this honestly. Does Trump ever say things where you wince a little and go, why are you saying that?
Yes, yes, yes. He is absolutely rough around the edges. Absolutely. There's a part of me that thinks he does it on purpose because it gets people talking about him.
Well,
we're talking about it right now. It's worked, right? So, is he politically correct? Absolutely not. Does that mean he won't make a good president? I don't think so.
What about President Obama? Have you been dissatisfied with the job he's done?
Yeah.
Are you pretty much a Republican down the line? Did you vote for Romney last time?
I did vote for Romney, yes. I am Republican. I'm more of a fiscal Republican. My views socially are not so much Republican, but I am a fiscal Republican. So, and that to me is very important with our, you know, the man or woman who's going to lead our country, they need to be fiscally responsible. They have to be knowledgeable in foreign policy. Whether they think gays should marry or not is irrelevant to me because, you know, I have my own opinions about that. So I'm not going to vote for someone based on those social issues.
Are you optimistic about the future of the country? Be honest now.
It's
you just shrugged.
Question. I know. It's a loaded question. I have children. I'd like to be optimistic, but, you know, there's times where I'm not optimistic.
What fuels those feelings? What are your biggest fears about the future?
I worry about the national debt and I worry about unemployment and are my children going to be able to get jobs when they're done with college? Those are the things I worry about. Where are my kids going to be 15 years from now? When they're looking for a job, when they have their college degree, they need a job. Where are they going to be? What's the world? What kind of a world are we going to be in?
Is global warming, do you think it's real or is it down the scale for you?
I don't even pay attention to it.
Why not?
I just don't think it's a relevant issue to decide whether I'm going to vote for a person or not. It's one of those topics I feel is just controversial. People have their opinions on it, whether they think it's really happening or not.
Hot button topic.
Yeah, it is a hot button topic. I usually don't engage in conversations like that because I have my opinion, you'll have your opinion, and we can agree to disagree. I'm not going to sit and debate it for an hour because I'm sure you have valid points. I have valid points, but global warming to me is not a hot button issue in terms of am I going to vote for Hillary or, you know, or Trump.
What's your message to people on both sides of the aisle? I'm sure, you know, we hear a lot of hostile talk in the heat of election, but you really don't wish ill will toward Democrats.
Right, of course not. Of course not. I don't.
You probably have friends who are Democrats.
Yes, I do. And we agree not to discuss politics.
Do you?
Most of the time. I'm sorry, what was your question?
I don't even remember. What's your message to everybody out there? A message of a peace and love from your heart. I'm from the 70s, so that'll kind of hippie mentality.
Yeah, yeah. So in terms of the election, I think it's really important that people research the facts. And I'm talking about both sides, not just Hillary. I'm talking about Republicans, Democrats. There are things that are being told to the public through the media that are not true. And I think it's really important that everyone should do their due diligence and research the facts and really look into each candidate and see what they stand for. You don't have to turn on the local news to get a blurb about something to make your decision.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
You've been very generous with it.
I'll give you a card. Yes. My show airs tomorrow at 6. It's also podcast and archived if you miss it. Yeah, it's online and on the radio.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Nice to meet you.
From RT, Russian television.
The media has been unbelievably dishonest. I mean, they'll take a statement that you make, which is perfect, and they'll cut it up and chop it up and shorten it or lengthen it or do something with it, and all of a sudden it doesn't look as good as it did when you actually said it.
Being in Miami and thinking of Zika reminded me of the band The Mosquitoes from Gilligan's Island, who were actually the Wellingtons that sang the theme song.
One, two, three.
He's a loser. Ain't no mind what he says. He's a loser. He's got rocks in both his hands. He's a loser. He can't win, can't play the show. He's a loser. And you know how much I hate to say I told you so.
I guess all the TV shows back then had to have a rock and roll band on them. The Beatles influence, the Monkees, all that, the Stones, the Animals, Freddie and the Dreamers, do the Freddie. Flintstones had the Way Out.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you, good people, for I found a place for me.
This is a band from Milwaukee called Fable and the World Flat. I used to work with the Sevs. I like this song. They're probably not together. He's probably got a new incarnation. One of those young band guys, always spinning off into some new and more interesting project. Kim is in the house. Kim, can you talk a little bit?
Hey.
Hey, I can hear you. Can you hear you?
I really can't hear me, but, I'm not sure. I can hear me.
Yeah, you sound great.
All right, well, good.
You're watching the board for Hardy?
I am. And it was a really nice commute. It was really trafficky, but I had some good radio to listen to.
Have you done a show? Do you fill in now
I just started. I'm on the new schedule.
On the schedule? Mm-hmm. When's your time slot?
It's Wednesday, 7 to 8. It's called In Real Life, and it's myself and
Emily. I heard
about
you.
Yeah?
I'm like, she's going to be the new me, and they're going to forget me.
No, no. I'm going to be shadowing you.
Ken and Brian bring
I have so many questions.
New for talents in, and then they phase us out. I can feel it. It's starting, Kim.
Oh, I could never fill your shoes, ever.
Oh, come on. You know, I don't like compliments.
Neither do I.
What else
so this
do you
is awkward.
Like? Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Where at? What town? Shout out.
I grew up in Rumson, New Jersey, Monmouth County.
Does it mean something to you? Are you proud of it?
No, I was a bit of an outsider for Rumson. It's a bit of a rich community.
The high school. What was the name of the team?
I don't even, I mean, I went to Middletown South, so those were the Eagles. I wasn't
Were you
really
like a goth? Did you wear black?
I was, goth and grunge and all of that.
You just didn't fit in.
I was anti-group activities.
When did it start coming? Did WFMU help you blossom and bloom?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
A lifeline?
These are my people. I found my people here.
Who are you going to vote for this fall?
I'm going to be voting for Hillary.
Are you? Were you a Bernie person to begin with?
I was a Bernie person, but not enthusiastically.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
Tell them when your show is again, the name of it, everything.
Yeah, In Real Life, it's on Wednesday between 7 and 8. Take a listen.
Do you interview people?
It's kind of curiosity-based. We do interviews talk show afterwards.
It's over for me. It's over. Nice talking to you, Ken.
Nice talking
to
you, too.
All right. That's it. Hey, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition.
with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we explore together, as we explore the caves of imagination, as we explore the underwater caves of imagination, and we swim down in there, and we get trapped, and then we perish. And so we go back into a time machine and do the whole thing again, but the same outcome repeats, and we get trapped and perished each time until we come inured to the fear and come to enjoy the dangerous adventure. What are you doing there? Oh, I'm getting out all my puppets and fixing them up. All my puppets was my soap for a while. You got a lot of puppets. They're all different kinds, too. Yeah, like this is a rod puppet. It's just a rod with a face drawn on it. It's conceptual. I have a marionette. Oh, he's very regal looking. I can see the strings. I have lots of hand puppets, like this lazy looking doggy. Hello there. Jesus, it's alive! No, Butchie, that's just Hardy using the dark arts. Come on, guys, I know I'm not the greatest puppeteer, but I like puppets a lot. Have I ever told you of the story of the beginning of the puppet? No, but tell us a story, Uncle Hardy. Oh, Lord, I'm not your uncle. You're like a Dutch uncle. What's that? A person who gives stern critical advice. That's the opposite of my Dutch Caribbean uncle, Uncle Martin St. Martin from St. Martin's. He'd let us do anything. He'd be all, do you want a beer or smoke or something? And I'd be like, Uncle Marty, I'm a living. Ironically, a puppet version of him might be called a martinet. That's pretty good, Butchie. I was feeling a little proud of it. Thought of it earlier, but I held back for the right moment. Good comic timing, Butch. Yeah, that was a goodie. Yeah. So, you want to know why there are puppets? Sure, I have an hour to hear a made-up puppet origin story. It isn't made up, but it does coincidentally take place in the Caribbean, on an island called SMAP. SMAP? Like the Japanese singing group? I guess so.
I heard they broke up.
I know, but can you blame them? Who wants to be in a boy band at 40? All right, listen. On an island called SMAP.
Wait a minute, I want to freshen my seltzer. All right, go ahead.
Hey, do I have time to change my underwear? I'm wearing pajamas as underwear and it's starting to bunch up.
Are you want to hear this story or not? All right, listen. One time, on an island called SMAP, there was a little boy, a lonely little boy, walking down the beach one day. And he saw something at the water's edge. And he ran to it, and he picked it up, and it was a fur little thing. And he put his hand in it, and it made its mouth move. It was a sort of toy, he thought. Look, it's like a little puppy or something. And he made it talk to him because he was lonely. He said, hello, lonely little boy. And he said, hello, pup, et puppet. That's what I'll call him, my new friend. And so we walked down the beach talking to Puppet. Puppet, this is the beach that you're from. Really, said Puppet. It's really nice, and it's nice to have a friend. And the boy would move his hand up in the puppet. Because this is a story, you can't see that, and I have to describe it in words. A lot of times, that's why the graphic novel is so important. Because a lot of times your imagination is worn out during the day. Because you're trying to imagine that this life and this civilization makes any sense. And so you go, oh, I'm having a hard time imagining things. Could you just show me some pictures sometimes? Sometimes words fail you. So the little boy had his hand up in this furry puppet, he's calling it. Now, it was the first time anybody called it puppet because this is the first puppet. This was a long time ago on this island. Islands have been around since, I think there's a specific date, but it's in the millions and all, almost billions, when there was a place called Pangaea. I don't know if you used to go there. Oh, my gosh, it's kind of an Italian-themed restaurant, but that American version of Italian dining, Pangaea. It was a large place, and they had palm trees and all sorts of things. It was so tropical. That was a big theme. You know how we go through themes now on a small scale? Like, oh, the 50s, they liked old tiki thing, Hawaiian themes and everything. And actually, the turn of the century, they liked Hawaiian things. I think that's every 50 years or so, ukuleles and tiki culture comes in. But that used to happen on a global scale. And you'd say, oh, now what's in are saccades. Saccades are a wonderful combination of like palm, fern. We have them now. There's one sort of saccade left. It's called the sega palm. And Oliver Sacks wrote a great story about people who ate the sega palm and developed a debilitating neurological disorder that mimicked Parkinson's. Oh, the island of the puppet boy became the center of the earth. It was a sort of Pangea, except it was smaller. And so he was walking on the beach and he found his puppet and they had a conversation. And the sun started to go down as it was the end of the day. And so the boy and his new little friend walked back to his grandmother's house. And he said, Grandma, Grandma, look, I got a new friend. I call him Puppet. Hello, Grandma. I'm Lonely Little Boy. Lonely Little Boy didn't use his name. I don't want to use his name because I don't want anybody to know or to bother him. I know he's not really on this timeline, lives in another possible universe. Still, I value privacy so much. I said, I'm Lonely Little Boy's friend, Puppet. And the grandmother looked, and she looked at the little boy, and she looked at the puppet, and she looked at the boy, and she looked at the puppet, and she tried to disguise the feeling of horror that had taken over her, because what the little boy had on his hand was some sort of carcass of some sort of animal that had washed up on the shore. Some furry thing, bigger than a vole. Couldn't tell what it was anymore because the water and the sun had taken its toll on it. You know what I'm saying? So perhaps it looked to the little boy like a furry sock with a face on it in which he could put his hand and make it a little friend. But in fact, it was the carcass of some animal. And the mother said, here, let me borrow your friend for a minute. He needs a rest. And she put him over there in town. She scrubbed the hand of the little boy for fear that there was some sort of bacteria or parasites on it. You don't know what's up in a carcass of a dead animal. That's why we wear them. Our ancestors would first wear them on their head. Say, I'm going to gut this animal, and like this raccoon, and wear it on my head for a while till I can be sure there's no termites in it or whatever infest animals. And then I could use it as underwear. But I wanted it at eye level first so I can scope it out and make sure there's nothing bad in it. So she took that away and she said, oh, this little boy is so lonely he's playing with the dead. And that's sad to me. So the grandmother thought for a while and she stroked the whiskers on her chin and she came up with an idea. And she said to the little boy, little boy, lonely little boy. She called him that, too. She probably is largely responsible for his condition if she's been doing. A lot of times parents, guardians will project a certain image on a child, and then they're nearly doomed because they say, oh, that's, we call him Big Head. So, oh, for years I thought I had a big head. And then it turns out you do, but still, it's hurtful. So there's a funny story, though, about a big-headed kid and a hat full of potatoes. And I guess we wouldn't have that if it wasn't for the big-headed. Bless us. Oh, we all have to be different, don't we? We all have to have different size heads for some reason. I don't know why, but it's fine. That's fine. Oh, for hat makers, so they can, that's how they get you. If it was one size fits all, I don't know that they would make as much money. So, oh, I can make a size 7.5, a size, it's all a scheme. So the grandmother says to the little boy, she says, I want you to go and run to a coconut palm tree. And I want you to get me coconut husk. And the little boy says, husk. And the grandma says, yes, get me a coconut husk. And the little boy says, coconut husk. Yes, coconut husk, coconut husk. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Said the grandmother. No, I think, I don't know, said the little boy. I think, do you mean the outside of the coconut? Like, no, the grandmother says, I think what I mean is like there's a, oh gosh, it looks like burlap. And the boy says, like, it's fibrous bark of the tree up the top where the coconuts are. Yes, the grandmother says, yes, that stuff. What is that? Does that have a name? I don't know, says the boy. And they laugh about it for a long time. Go get me that, that burlappy-looking fibrous husk stuff from a coconut palm. And also bring me a coconut for a couple reasons, because I'm going to use that too.